trying to get lyrics added to it. I feel like I'm getting fired up for the Oilers game.
Feels like you're getting fired up for an Oilers game?
Yeah, that's what that. That's what
except
that.
For all we're going to be doing here is winning. So,
yeah.
I'm a Leaf fan. So,
are you? Oh, that's fair. Oh, yeah.
I'm a Leaf fan. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that, you know, intro, outro music. You know, the guy, we're getting closer and closer to having him back on. He's going to add lyrics to it soon. We're about a year and a bit into a year and a half, year and a quarter maybe into, you know, having that intro music. So I love that guy. On this week's episode of the podcast, man, I'm pumped because, like, one of the most, like, you know, unseemingly, you know, people on the planet in my eyes. I was blown away when I, like, discovered this. We got Lauren, you know, admin, CEO, I don't know, something of the Small Town Berta Group. What's going on?
I think we've been trying to set this up for so long, so I'm glad that we finally found a time.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been trying to set this up for a while, and that's all right. You know, the podcast isn't going anywhere, right? So when I talk about this a lot lately is that, you know, the podcast isn't just like record, ask someone to come on, record, put it out. There's so much work behind it, right? Like sometimes there's like, but from the time I ask someone to come on to the time we sit down and actually record and it goes out, sometimes it's a year, right? And we're still working on some from, like, you know, people we asked back in the very beginning, and you know, we're getting closer. We're crossing people off our list and, you know, adding new people every day. And I'm excited. Yeah, we've been working on this one for a while.
Yeah, so pumped to finally be here.
Hell yeah. What have you been up to?
Honestly, it's been like I'm in school right now. I'm doing my master's in business at the University of Calgary. So I've just been, unfortunately, studying. Not even time for, like, much else. Haven't even had as much time to post or anything lately, but I got tomorrow's the last day of class, so
you're back and you're back to posting full time again. You're just like, what you got to fill that void somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
that's crazy, you know. Very blue collar podcast, you know, but you're studying to become, you know, part of the white collar world, you know. That's, you know, that's pretty interesting. I've had a lot of people, and actually I think Gord from the Second Act podcast, who's down near your way, actually, he said to me, he's like, you know, you have a lot of, like, blue collar people who, you know, are very white collar at the same time on the podcast, right? They have blue collar jobs, but they're owners too, right? They own their own blue collar business. So, you know, they got to do the paperwork and they got to do all that stuff. So they're very blue collar, but they're also very white collar at the same time. Yeah. It's pretty interesting how that all works out.
Yeah. And I'd say I feel like I'm probably the opposite. Cause I feel like I, like, come from white collar, but then, like, all of my friends and growing up, I just feel like aligns more with blue collar. And then, like, my family came from small towns and I spent a lot of time in, like, just different small towns around Alberta. So I feel like that's definitely more of, like, where I'm meant to be almost.
Hell yeah. You're going to, like, so what's your plan when you're done with the business side of things in school? What is your overall plan? Like, what do you want to do with that?
So ideally, I'm still not sure, but I don't want to work like a typical white collar job. If it's like can make it possible, I would love to just like work, like have my own kind of business, maybe consulting, digital marketing, that kind of thing. And then kind of use like Small Town Berta. And then I have a bunch of other accounts too, as kind of like a case study almost of like, that's what I can do for like somebody else, or get lots of exposure for like a small business, things like that.
Man, you've already got the experience with the digital marketing thing down, right? Like, you know what works. And I remember the first time, I think you reposted like one of my videos or something like that. And then, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I messaged you, I'm like, thanks for sharing my videos. I think that was back at the beginning when I was trying to, like, you know, blow my account up and whatnot. And I was following you on my personal account. And, you know, and then, oh my God, you know, Small Town Berta likes my stuff, right? And then I reach out, I message you, and then turns out, you know, and it's not, it's crazy because it's not really that crazy, but like, you know, finding out that, yo, there's this like teenage girl behind the account, right? And that's insane. That just blew my mind.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to clarify for like people listening, I'm not teenage. I'm 25, so I'll just put that out there, which is very young, but I'm not 16. I do get ID'd every time I go anywhere. Somebody that's more like you that like works up north and like definitely a guy who's older running the account, and they're always like very surprised when they find out it's me.
Hold up. What do you mean a guy like me that's older? What are you getting on with that? What do you mean?
You know, a guy like you and older.
I get it. It's the gray. You know, the gray and the beard, I love it. You know, like my wife, she loves it. A lot of people like to make fun of it. I'm like, bro, like look how like sweet that looks. Like it just mixes in together, right? I love that.
Even better.
What's that?
Especially if your wife loves it, then automatically a win.
Oh, like, yeah, exactly. No one else matters, right? I thought you were like at the time when you first started it, I thought you were like 18, 19, whatever. But how long has it been going on? How long have you had it for? Like, when did you start it?
So like the Small Town Berta account that's like running right now is actually only from like last July.
Yeah.
I think technically it's an older account, but I was just posting like random memes on it. And then I turned it into Small Town Berta last July when the original page got deleted from like copyright strikes or like weird things. And then I got locked out and I can't do like the two-factor authentication. So I just like restarted. So that page is from just over maybe like 18 months ago.
Yeah, no, I remember having this conversation with someone. They're like, I'm like, oh yeah, Small Town Berta and I, you know, we've been chumming around on Instagram for, oh God, I don't know, like three, four years now. And they're like, wow, this account says it's only been up for like a year. So how are you doing? I'm like, oh my God, am I lying or whatever? So I went on this big like goose egg, and I think I messed or goose egg, goose hunt. And I think I messaged you about it. I'm like, hey, isn't this account older? And then you explain, yeah, we lost the account and whatnot. So I'm like, yeah, at least I'm not looking like a liar now, right? Like,
a bit of a Mandela effect.
Yeah. The Mandela effect really fucks with everyone, you know? Like it's, you know, the Berenstain Bears and, is it the Berenstain Bears? And then there was something else. There's a lot that the Mandela effect hits everything, right?
Yeah, I've been lost on a couple of those like YouTube rabbit holes. I'm sure you've probably gotten into them while you've had some time at home too.
Oh, I've had a lot of time to get into a lot of things while I've been at home. You know, it's I finished two seasons of Halo. I finished almost three seasons of The White Lotus. I finished started on Twisted Metal. Caught up on 1923. I've caught up on The Handmaid's Tale. I've had a lot of time, but I've also been doing a lot of work too. I'm also on modified duties, right? So, you know, I'm not playing video games and watching TV while I'm supposed to be working. So, you know, like for legal purposes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy, you know, hanging out with my family too. It's been pretty nice. I'm 7 weeks in to, you know, being off right now. And it was only supposed to be 6 weeks. And then I was supposed to have the x-ray to get this thing looked at to take off. But I had my 6 week appointment, and my doctor, my family doctor, she's like, I'd feel much better if we had an ortho surgeon look at it and x-ray it and tell us it's okay. I'm like, all right. I had a scheduled appointment with an ortho surgeon in Fort Mac, but didn't want to travel to Fort Mac just for that. So I canceled that appointment and set one up with my doctor. So we could have already had it off, but whatever, you know, extra time.
No, it's going to be in like 2027, your appointment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They said, you know, 300 to 600 business days. So yeah.
Wow.
It's like,
do you get to, have you walked yet or do you get to soon?
Oh, that is a funny question. That's funny. So, you know, on last week's podcast, before it came out, I actually wanted to tell that story on there, but it never presented itself. It's funny that you asked. I was heading to the bathroom the other day And there's a lip that heads that goes to my bathroom, and I just been jumping on one leg the whole time. Go there, jump, and that when I get back to that lip, when I'm coming back, I gotta stop, plant it, jump up with one leg, and move over. While I was going down it the other day, and I might have misstepped or slipped on something, and I fell, and I landed on that foot. First time in 6 weeks it took weight, and you know I think it's good. I think it's good, but you know. Physio is meant, you know, for, you know, slow and steady, right? Like, we're going to introduce weight back to that slow and steady, get you going. This was all of a sudden, all at once. It hurt for a second, but that's only because, you know, that's it sent a shock to my body, right?
Yeah.
Whoa, there's a lot of weight and a lot of things happening in there all at once, really fast. So I crawled the two feet to the bathroom. My wife was in there brushing her teeth. She helped me up onto the toilet. I sat down. I had to go pee. And I felt really dizzy and nauseous, right? So I'm like, oh, all right. And I'm trying not to puke. So I closed my eyes for a second. And like, I guess it was 3 minutes. 3 minutes later, I'm waking up to my wife screaming, and she's got 911 on the phone. And like, I fainted. I fainted, and I fell back, and I hit my head on the shower door there. But her arm was around me, so I didn't go all the way back. And when I came to, and I'm just like, man, this is a really rude way to get woken up, yelling and screaming and stuff, you know? Like, what? It was a great sleep, you know? And I no longer had to use the bathroom. I pissed my pants, and I gave my wife a golden shower all at the same time. Like, turns out that's a new kink for her, so.
Wow, there you go. You're getting lots. You're discovering lots on your time off.
I am discovering lots. I'm growing the beard a little sooner than usual. You know, it's not quite, you know, road crew season yet. You know, I grow that out when I go away in the summer for the road crew, but I'm getting to grow the beard. I'm discovering my wife's new kinks. I've never fainted. I've experienced that. I've never had a broken bone before. I'm experiencing that. Yeah, no, it's been a good time.
You're like, when white girls go to find themselves in like Thailand, but you only had to go back to Edmonton.
Have you watched White Lotus?
I didn't watch the new season yet. I'm waiting until after my like final exam tomorrow.
I started season 3 2 days ago. So far, I ain't feeling it. I'm not feeling it like I felt the other two, right? But like, I'm gonna give it a go. I've come this far. I gotta keep going, right? So,
yeah. Have you watched Severance?
Severance. Yes. No, I haven't watched Severance yet.
There's a good one.
Yeah. We just finished watching Adolescence the other day.
That one's on my list. That's like the Netflix one, right? The where the kid kills somebody.
Yeah, he's accused of killing. Yeah, yeah. I watched it. It's really good. It's really good. And it actually got some twists in it. It's like, oh my God. Have you seen the show? It was on Apple a couple of years ago called Finding Jacob.
No, I don't think so.
No, that one's similar plot to it. Very similar endings, actually. I was like, oh my God. And I'm sitting there the whole time. I'm the kind of guy that's got to guess. I'm like guessing what happens, right? And, you know, White Lotus threw me off for that, right? Spoiler alert if no one's seen season 1. I had no idea Armando was going to be the guy that died. I'm like, okay, who's dead? It's got to be Buddy's wife, right? Like, it's got to be her. Who's dying? And then when he died, I'm like, shit, you know, like I didn't see that coming, right? And I try to guess season 2, and my wife guessed season 2's right because she's not in season 3. So
I didn't guess. I was sad about the season 2 one. I would have loved if she was in season 3. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe she was carrying the whole thing the whole time.
Maybe. But there is someone from season 1 in season 3, so it's exciting, you know. I'm gonna go back and give her a go for sure. I can't just throw it away like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Especially after investing all those, like, I don't know. I watched it like before the strike was the first 2 seasons, so like a couple of years ago even. You're like, now you just feel like you invested years into that show.
Yeah. So you're talking about White Lotus before the strike?
Yeah, like, wasn't that the reason for the delay? Or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, I had no idea what White Lotus was or even existed until, like, a week ago. And then I started seeing things on TikTok about it and the music. And I even went and got a clip off YouTube for a sound from season 2. I'm gonna use, was it season 1? It was season 1. I got a clip from season 1 for a sound I want to use on TikTok. So it's pretty good. It was, like, one of my favorite parts. So, yeah, I'm excited to use that.
Yeah, no, I started watching that, like, I don't even remember when the first season came out. I think it was a couple of years ago, and then the second one came out right away, and then there was like a 2 or 3 year break before the newest one. So
nice. Yeah, it's kind of like The Last of Us season 2. The Last of Us is either tonight or tomorrow. It comes out. It comes out in the next few days, anyways, and I'm excited. It's been what two years since the last season, so.
Mm-hmm. I wish that they were filming still in like Alberta, because that was really cool when they had all like the. I went and like drove to. I think there was some in like Fort McLeod or something. Went and like looked at all those, so that was pretty cool. And now I think most of it is like Vancouver and like Washington for season 2.
Ah, okay. Speaking of Alberta, right? Like you make the count. You made the account small town Alberta, and man, I don't know of anybody here. You got a lot of followers on the original account. You're growing on the other one. You're on Facebook. Like, how did that start? How did you decide one day I'm going to create this account called Small Town Alberta, and this is what I'm going to do? How did that start?
Yeah, so basically, it started when I was doing my undergrad at Mount Royal University, the other main one in Calgary. I had traveled to visit my friend that went to Dalhousie in Halifax, and they had like a student meme page, and I thought it was hilarious. And I was like, we don't have any of those in Alberta. So as soon as I got back, I made one for like my college, and it grew pretty fast. It grew to like, I still have it. It's like over 16,000 for like a pretty small school. And I just really enjoyed doing that. And it was like anonymous, but people kind of like would talk about it and be like, oh, the MRU memes, like that post was so funny. And like, it was kind of like my little secret that I liked having. And so my friends, they were living in Olds at the time. They're like, what are you going to do when you graduate? You should make one for Olds College. And I was like, for 20 people to like read? I don't think so. But I started like considering it and taking, like keeping that in mind. And I was like, well, I live in Calgary, but I feel like I relate more to like small town, like rural content. And there's not really that, like there's so many Calgary pages and Edmonton pages. I'm sure you've seen all of them, and they all post the same thing.
Oh yeah.
But there's not really one for like the smaller towns. And at the same time, you can't really have one for like just one small town. Cause if you want, it's like a lot of work to put in if you want to be consistent for like 40 people to understand. So I thought I could probably take a lot of the things that are kind of similar from all of like rural Alberta into like one page.
Nice. I love that. Like, have you been to a lot of the small town Alberta towns, like the smaller Alberta towns, right? Like up north and off to the west and the
like
east.
My family, like my mom was from Grand Prairie. She was born there. And so like my grandparents still live there for a bit. And even like in the last year, I've driven up to Grand Prairie a couple times, and we stop in all those places. Or like, I just have friends that live in like villages of like 500 people near Red Deer. So I have spent like a lot of time in smaller towns, and I would say I enjoy it more than the city. But
shout out to Pine Lake.
Yeah.
I spent some time in Pine Lake, and there's a couple little towns, Lucena. Lucena's out that way. Man, funny story about Lucena. Very racist little town.
Lots of them are, especially when you go like up near like Cold Lake.
Provost.
Yeah.
Provost, Lucena, like the Caroline, you know, some of my favorite little towns, you know, like not because of the racism or anything like that. Just, you know, it's very funny watching how they live, you know, coming from Alberta, like Edmonton and Calgary. You know, I lived in Calgary for a while, and, you know, Edmonton. And then, you know, you go to like a place like Fox Creek, right? And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Fox Creek, and I love that place, you know, very... provides a lot of entertainment value. You know, you're like, you're bored and whatnot, and you start finding yourself getting not involved, but, you know, paying attention to some of that small town drama that happens between 1900 people that live there and like the 10,000 oil and gas workers that are surrounding the town. You know, it's very interesting, very fun. You know, you go up to like Grand Prairie, like you said, Wembley, you know, you're up in Fairview and stuff like that. And yeah, no, you gotta really... Alberta and Saskatchewan, I feel, have a very, like, it's not just another place. It's a way of life, right? And, yeah, like, and I don't know if you feel the same way about Alberta, but it is a culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of what kind of, like, I guess motivated or like shaped it was kind of that it's just so much different than in the city. And like, even just meeting somebody from like talking to them for like 5 minutes, you can tell if they're from Calgary or Edmonton or like anywhere else.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You could, oh my God. Yeah. Like I lived in Calgary for 2 years and you know, I lived outside of my income bracket for sure. Right. Like I'm like, I can't afford to live here. Right. But I did for 2 years and it was pretty wild, but like, talking to people like, yeah, I see the mountains right in my backyard. Oh, you're from Calgary for sure, right? Or, you know, like I'm from where I'm from originally back in Ontario. I think actually Edmonton and where I'm originally from, Hamilton, they'd be sister cities, right? And I think that's what my wife and I really like about Edmonton is it reminds us a lot of home without the bullshit, right? And so, yeah, Edmonton is very like big and industrial and, you know, I don't want to say dirty, but parts of it are a little dirty, you know, mm-hmm. And Hamilton, big industrial,
dirty, very dirty,
very dirty. Right. So yeah, it gives us that feeling of being home without being home, you know, and I felt when I lived in Calgary, I lived in Edmonton for 6 years prior to living in Calgary. And then I moved to Calgary for two. After 2 years, I've been back in Edmonton for 2 years now, right? So out of the 8 years I've spent in Edmonton now, you know, being in Calgary, whenever we go there, we always feel like Edmonton is home anyways. Like when we were living in Calgary and came to Edmonton to visit, we're like, this feels right, you know? Whereas Calgary, it never quite felt right to us. And, you know, I love the drive between Edmonton, Calgary, stopping in the bathroom break of Alberta, you know, the donut mill, that is like a symbol of Alberta, you know, like, hey, you, the drive down Highway 2 or up Highway 2, we're stopping at the donut mill, you know, you're counting down, you're basing your trip on, okay, Gasoline Alley is here. We're getting our snacks there. We're getting our gas there. And then we're heading on and there's no more stopping until we get to where we need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite part. What where do you plan on taking small town Alberta? Like, do you plan, like you want it to grow? How much bigger do you want that thing? Do you got plans for it or?
I mean, honestly, it just started even the name was just an inside joke with my friends because whenever they would see a lifted truck, they would just be like, Berta and like, rah. And so I was just like, it just seemed like it all fit together so well. And so it just started as an inside joke. Only they knew about it and they followed it because I just wanted somewhere to put like redneck memes, basically. And then it like started growing really fast. I think the first post I posted, like the map of Alberta that I made, that's like kind of judgmental, like, and it just like really blew up. Like somebody else shared it on Facebook. I think Crack Mac shared it on Facebook and it got like 10,000 shares. And I was like, whoa, I have like 30 followers. And so at that point I was like, oh, maybe I could just like take the account off private and like actually share things and whoever wants to see them will follow it too. And then I don't know. I didn't even plan on it to grow bigger than like as big as it is now. I think it's at 150,000 followers ish. And then I started a couple other ones. So the next one I started was just called O Canada. And it just like Canadian memes. And it grew super fast. It had the same issue. So I restarted about 18 months ago. And now it's over 300,000 followers. Yeah. And so I just like did the same thing. Like I would make a meme and I'm like, oh, but this doesn't really fit Alberta. It's more of like Saskatchewan thing. So I started a Saskatchewan page and it grew. And then now I'm just like, there's so many to juggle.
Are you behind the small town Sask page too?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay. I see that. I'm like, I thought, okay, either this is her or like someone else has saw the Berta page and like went off that. I love that page too. Right. Like I spend a lot of my time. I lived in Saskatoon for 4 years, I think it was. And you know, every summer when I go working on the road crew, I spend a lot of time in Saskatchewan. So, you know, like, I love the small towns in Saskatchewan. You know, I spent a good week or two in Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan this past summer. Man, you need to find some good memes to make about that place. You know,
I'll keep that on the radar.
Yeah, yeah. What a spot. I love that. And I have a buddy who lives here in Edmonton. His name's Mike. You might know Mike Vickers. He is big in the creating Facebook pages space, and he talks about it a lot. And oil and gas guy, lives not too far from me. We've got to talking. He creates Facebook pages, builds them up, turns them into like a profitable thing, and then sells them to other like companies, right? Like he, you know, the Oil Field Now Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
That was his page. He built it up. He sold it. That guy, that's what that guy does full time now. And him and I have been talking. I want him to kind of teach me how to build, you know, pages like that. I want to keep the Dick Frost page, but like, I want to build a page that, you know, people can relate to, sort of like that. And, you know, someone sees value in it and comes in and buys it. Right. And that's what Mike does now. Mike makes a decent amount of money off that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I've had some like offers for like all of my pages, but it's almost like my baby. Like, I'm like, oh, I put so much work into like half of these. Like, I remember when I was starting, I was like, okay, I have to post like twice a day on every page. And I think like I maxed out the amount of pages on my phone and my iPad. So I have like more than 10. And it was just getting to a point where like, I'm the only person that has a password. So it's just me. It's like a lot of work, and I don't make any money off of it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to sacrifice, like, because all I wanted to do was kind of make my own like memes and stuff, but the algorithm, it doesn't do as well as like a TikTok that went viral at the beginning. So definitely in the last year, probably also just because I started school and been busy, I've kind of like stopped posting like as much, but then tried to like just do more of like my own original like memes. There's a couple of TikToks thrown in there too.
Yeah, you could use like CapCut and whatnot, you know, you get like a I could help you out with some ideas for that, like, you know, spending a lot of time in some of these small town Alberta towns, right? You get like, yeah, you just get some pictures of like the background of the welcome to this place sign or whatever. You go on CapCut and like you just, you know, you find relatable things, and you know, it's there is a huge like market for, you know, the meme game, right? It's crazy. When I was growing up, you know, I wanted to be a DJ growing up, right? And now kids these days, they can literally get paid to be meme lords, and that's beautiful, right? Like it's wild. Like, I don't know, with your groups on Facebook, are you monetized over on Facebook?
No, I didn't know that you could monetize Facebook, to be honest.
Oh, man, I'm monetized on Facebook. You got a lot more followers than I do on Facebook. You're probably like, I
don't think so. I don't even have 10,000.
Oh, I thought you were bigger than that on Facebook.
No, I'm not, like, I don't know. I think I'm bad at like Facebook. I don't know how it like works. And I think when I made the page, I don't know if I made it into like a, I didn't make it a separate account. It's like an extension of my personal Facebook. So it doesn't have the same like settings.
I'm going to start sharing out your page on Facebook, on my Facebook, and share your posts, and then more people are going to follow. And yeah,
I think you're thinking of the Alberta Memes page, because I see you on their lots.
Oh, yeah, I'm on their lot. Yeah, I love that.
That one's not me, but that guy's funny.
Yeah, that guy's hilarious. And like, he's kind of taking it political a little bit, just to troll, right? He's trolling the political shit a little bit. I definitely like that guy a lot. Yeah. I think he's definitely on to something there. I don't even know how many followers he has in there. I think it's like 90,000 or something.
Yeah.
He's crushing it.
Mm-hmm. And that's like the people on Facebook eat the political posts up, like those memes. So
they do, he
knows their audience for sure.
They're all boomers on Facebook, right? They're all older people. Like, I notice when I post my videos on Facebook, if I even drop a little bit of like a controversial thing into my video, or even a comment in the comment section, oh, the boomers just take right off with that. And they don't understand how algorithms work. I love it. It's cute. You know, because you're like, I hate your page and I hate what you posted and you're a piece of shit. Yeah, I'm like, then don't comment, because all you're doing is feeding my page traffic. Right.
They're just helping you.
Right. And I'm monetized on Facebook. So like, all you're doing, when they started an argument in the page one time, I come back and that video made me $200. I'm like, nice. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. You know, like, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, no, Facebook, you gotta see if you can get monetized on Facebook for sure. I think check into it with your even 10K, you might be able to do it.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that. Do you have to, is it because you're like verified or whatever?
I just got verified last week, actually. I paid for it, but you get the first month for free. So just to see how you're liking it and if it works for you. And so far it is. I've noticed my engagement's gone up a bit, right? But I went with like one of the lowest packages or whatever. It was like $60 a month or whatever. And I'm making that on Facebook anyways. So basically what I made on Facebook pays for that, right? Last month I made, you know, in Canadian dollars, because they pay you out in American, but when it comes over to Canadian, it's more. I made $1,600 Canadian on Facebook last month, right? And that's pretty good, you know, like that covers bills and shit. I'm going on a road trip here in a couple weeks. I'm going to Ontario for 2 weeks and we're driving. We're stopping at the Mall of America on the way and in Chicago at the Giant Bean. And I'm going for my sister's wedding. So, you know, that pays for my trip to Ontario, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hell yeah. So yeah, extra income is good, right? And you know, that's another thing I've discovered being off for the last 6 weeks is, you know, I always kind of knew in the back of my head that my job was in the way of my content, right? Like the podcast is making okay money, the content, the merch line, all that stuff we got going on, you know, it's just all for fun. And if I make extra money, good. But like I always knew my job was in the way. And all I had to do was, you know, take that leap, right? And what the last 6 weeks have shown me is that, like, when I have the time, you know, I can make a full-time go of this, right? And be okay. But and I haven't even been able to max that out, that potential out yet, because I can't walk, right? So, like, if I could drive and walk myself, I could drive 20 minutes down the road to where there's pump jacks, and I can make a bunch of videos, right? I could bash create videos. You know, right now I'm making videos in my basement, in my house. I've made a bunch about being injured and off work, but I'm not allowed to post them for a couple of months because just the nature of what had happened and where it had happened and the people that know that I'm off, you know, out of respect for them, you know, they said, hey, we can't tell you what you can and cannot post, but we'd like it if you didn't. Right. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. You know what? And the first thing they said when they found out it was me who got hurt, the first word out of their mouth was fuck, right? Because you get the guy that like
creates on TikTok.
Yeah, the guy that creates content at work is now sitting at home with nothing but time to create content, right? And I'm on live. I go live on TikTok a lot and Instagram. Not so much Instagram, but TikTok a lot. And, you know, at first I was showing it. I was unwrapping it, showing how swollen it was and, you know, talking about it a bit. And then, you know, it was 20 minutes after I got off the live where I got a phone call. I was like, hey, knock that shit off, right? And it's like, all right, that's cool. I get it. All right. So, you know, I got to respect them, right? I work for them. I want to continue working for them. And, you know, they allow me to make content. So, you know, I gotta respect that.
Yeah, fair enough. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been a lot of fun, man. You know, I get to hang out with my wife a lot now and, you know, working on baby number three, you know, I have the time. One, who knew what you could do with one leg? You know, it's maybe too much info, I guess.
You're making lots of leaps this week.
Making lots of leaps. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you got planned for your week off? Like, what are you going to do?
Sleep 8 hours, hopefully one night at least. I really enjoy making content and just like, you know, going through like the CapCut green screens or like making those, cutting them out. I haven't really like just been able to even sit down, scroll through Facebook, go outside in the sun since the snow melted.
Oh my God.
It's been nice. And then I have a job at a marketing company, so I'll have to be working a little bit too.
Do they know? Do they know about your small town Berta stuff?
Yeah, that's why he hired me. It's actually like a friend of a friend. And then I was kind of like, we went to the hockey game, had a couple beers, and we were both kind of talking about what we do. And it just kind of made sense that we work together. So it's been doing that. And it's like, he's a nice guy. It's flexible. So it's awesome.
It's pretty cool how, like, you know, the internet has worked out that way. Hey, you know, like you just created this account just for the hell of it, for fun one day. And then, you know, a video takes off, you get a little lucky, yada, 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 and you blow up and suddenly you're getting jobs out of it, right? And same with, you know, the job I currently have. I was in Fox Creek for 7 years and my boss was also on TikTok and made videos and we kind of know each other from that space. He doesn't do it anymore, But he's like, hey, man, you want to come work for me this winter? And I'm like, hell yeah, man. Well, give me the details. He threw the details at me, and I came and I worked for him, right? And I've had lots of other offers to do lots of other cool things, you know, with regarding work. And, you know, so it's pretty interesting, you know. I think one of the biggest things for me was I was offered a job with Pitbull Energy Services a couple of years ago. And they offered me to be their social media guy, right? They're like, hey, we'll pay you what you make now, and then some. We'll give you a company truck. You want a drone? You need a drone for your videos, you know? And we'll just drive around looking at our rigs and our sites and make videos with our equipment and stuff like that. And I thought, wow, what an incredible thing. And I, at that point where I was working, I had got them some work, you know, with my videos. And he's like, well, if you get me work, if you get me contracts for my videos, I'm sending you and your wife to Hawaii, right? Like, I'll send you guys on a nice vacation somewhere. Like, that's cool. That's cool. And it sounded at the time, it scared the shit out of me. All right. I was 2 years into making content. I was scared. Right. And so I backed off. I walked away from it. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm a field guy. I'm a get your hands dirty and get in the mud kind of guy. Right. And looking back on it now, if that opportunity comes up again, I'm taking it. Right. Like I am getting older, and, you know, I'm much more willing to accept a position like that now. Like, you know, like I'm 5 years into making content. I know how algorithms work, and I know, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think I can make a good go of that. Right. And that's something, you know, I'd like another crack at sooner or later. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sure that since you're just like, you now you put that out there, and there's going to be people like listening, they're going to be like, I need you to come to my company now.
Hopefully. Hey, there's a dick for hire, right? I'm here.
I feel like, yeah, I've never had to do like a job interview since I kind of like, you just make so many more connections and people that like actually see deeper down. Like, lots of people love like the memes or funny videos, like, but then there's people who actually see like deeper down, like the strategy behind it or the thought that goes into it. And they're like, hey, I like the way your brain works. Do you want to lend it to me? So yeah. Feels like things definitely just like, yeah, come together. Like I don't have any income from social media at all, but it has brought like other opportunities, or like I was able to go to Shambhala last year, which was super cool. And it was like sold out, and I'm not in a place where I could buy tickets that expensive to a music festival for me and my friends. So it was like a really good opportunity, and it was a great time. And like, that's something I would have never done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly, you know, been offered things like, you know who the Upcycler is? He lives in he lives south of Edmonton anyway. I've hung out with him a couple times. Well, a bunch, you know, first person I ever hung out with on the internet and from the internet. And we were making content together. And Donnie Boy, do you know who Donnie Boy is?
I think I've seen him like a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen him around for sure. He's got like 200 and some odd thousand followers, I think, but he doesn't really make videos anymore. He's kind of just like pulled back, and just, he put out a couple videos the last few weeks actually. But other than that, he's had a bouncy, rough couple of years, I guess. We're all good friends. And, you know, the Upcycler, Donnie Boy, and I remember when it was that first year when I started making content, we were all invited out to someone that has like a cabin or a lake lot or something like that in BC, Northern BC. And they're like, hey guys, you guys want to come out here? The September long weekend, you guys can bring your families, and you guys can have the cabin and the whole lake. You guys take whatever you want. It's all on the house. You make content all weekend. Just showcase my resort, I guess. And I thought, like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't believe it was true, right? Because, you know, who would just offer that up, right?
Where's the trick here?
Where's the trick? Turns out over the last 5 years, you know, opportunities like that come quite a bit, right? Where like, hey, you have all these followers that watch you. Even if 1,000 people see it, and out of that 1,000, I get 100 people that want to rent, you know, or they want to take part in this. That's cool, right? We know companies are using us. They're exploiting it or whatever. But hey, whatever. It's cool. If I still make, you know, like, you know, 5% off that. That's 5% of whatever it was I didn't have before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've done a lot with turmoil. I don't know. You've seen probably turmoil around a lot, right?
Yeah, I've seen lots of your like all of the merch stuff you're posting. Troll Co. Yep.
Yeah, Troll's been all right. Heat waves, the turmoil stuff. We haven't really worked together per se. It's something I would like to do with her a little bit more. You know, she's got a pretty cool thing going on. And like, so, you know, we've traded merch and I've bought some stuff off her. And yeah, she's pretty cool. I like her.
Yeah, I think it's also been like good, mostly like just the people that you meet, like the people that just send you a DM randomly one day. Like, I remember I was following you on my like personal account for so long before I'd even started Small Town Berta. So when you had sent me the message, I was like, oh my gosh, Dick Frost knows my page exists, even. Oh. Like, so it were like, I've been talking to, do you know the Just Bins account? It's like a Regina.
Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. They're always in my live on TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy, and he's really good at getting that engagement from, like, you know, posting the controversial things. But there's been, like, lots of people just, like, all over the country. Shane I've talked to lots, like, he's awesome. Yeah, there's, like, just so many, like, incredible people on, like, the Canadian social media.
Oh yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of people here. A lot just in Alberta alone, right? There's quite like, if you look at Alberta, there are quite a few like really funny content creators, and like even if they're not funny, there's a lot of people in the oil and gas industry, especially now over the last few years. You know, we went from not being allowed to have our phones out to like look at Lane Borley, right? Like, PD pays that guy to have his phone out and recording what he's doing and make videos for the company, right? And you know, that just, when I first started, none of that was there, right? And we kind of had to be a little sneaky about it, right? And the fact that I made this video too, it spoke volumes that like they saw what we were doing was working, and so they accepted it, right? They accepted it. Don't show too many logos for the most part, and don't put your work, don't put the work below the internet stuff. But like, you know, when you have time, record it. Who cares? You know, I shouted out a whole bunch of creators in that video I made about it. It was like 3 years ago now, but I was like, it shows that what we're doing is working. We're getting in the DMs and in the comment section. Hey, where can I find a job? Hey, I want a job. I've never worked in the oil field before. I want in. How do I get in? Right. And that's huge. We're doing a lot for marketing, right? And Gord on my podcast there a few months ago said it best. He's like, the war against oil and gas has been waged online. Why not fight back online, right? Why not fight fire with fire? And that's what a lot of us are doing. We're talking, you know, we're shining a light on a very dark industry, right? What people perceive to be a very dark industry. There's a couple things I won't joke about and talk about. I won't joke around about drug and alcohol use. I won't joke around about infidelity. It happens in every industry. It happens everywhere. But because people, you know, they look at our industry as a place where that happens rampantly, I don't want to joke around about it. I could get views and clicks and likes and laughs and shit out of it, because like there's some low hanging fruit there in terms of jokes and memes you can make, but I don't want that. I'm here to show like we're having fun, and you know we're just here to, we're looking for people. We want you. Let's go, right? So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I feel the same way about that. Like, I know there's so many pages too that will post like, look at this exploding car accident that somebody died in, for like more clicks, or like,
yeah,
there's a situation. I'm like, I would rather just not. We could just post like funny things, be on like the lighter side, and not glorify like the violence or the drugs, because that's everywhere enough already.
Yeah. Yeah. I said that. I'm like, yeah. Do we have drugs and alcohol and infidelity in the oil field? Yes. Does Walmart have drugs and infidelity in the Walmart? You know what I mean? Yes. So, you know, and it came
like right collar CEO, high level executives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, back in the day, you know, if you weren't into that kind of stuff, you were like, you were kind of tossed aside on the crew. Like, you were the outcast of the crew, right? They're like, that guy's a loser. You're, you know, don't hang out with us. You're a narc. You could, you could tell on us. Right. And as we've gotten, you know, on in time here, I say the last 10 years or so, if you are into infidelity, right, the guys don't want none of that. We're tired of being labeled that. We're tired of our wives not trusting us when we go to work, right? So it's kind of like, hey, that guy over there, he might be a hard worker, but he's a loser on the crew, right? You know what I mean? Like, he is shunned. We don't look at him like he's cool. It's no longer the cool kids club, right? Like, now you show up. I could respect a kid who is scrawny and not very strong and can't really do the job as much over a guy who, you know, is, you know, smoking drugs on the job and coming to work drunk, and, you know, he's got a different woman in his room every night while his wife and kids are, you know, a few hundred miles away waiting for his call, right? I can respect the guy who's a nerd over that, right? And my boss actually made fun of me one day. He's like, where are you going? I jumped in the crew truck and I start peeling out. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, Pokemon Go, man. I got to put a Pokemon in the gym over there. You know, like, I got to go, man. And I'm going to make a video while I'm there. And he's like, man, what a fucking idiot. You're such a loser, right? And I'm like, hey, I could be getting all fucking coked out tonight and come in late tomorrow. He's like, have fun with your Pokemon, bud. See you later. And I'm like, exactly. Exactly, you know?
100%. Yep.
Do you know what viscosity is?
Yes.
Okay. What's viscosity in your own words?
Like, how, this isn't a word, but like sludgy a liquid is, like dense, like a, yeah, like dense. A goo is viscous.
Yeah. Viscous. Yeah. It, like the density. Yeah, sure. The podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, right? And the Mudman, he deals in viscosity, the thickness of your load, you know. He doesn't deal in the thickness of my load, but, like, you know, he deals in the thickness of someone's load. And so, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, the Mudman's got your back. And basically, you know, when they're drilling on the drilling rig and the mud either needs to be, you know, more thick or less thick, you know, they add or take away. And that guy is incredible with his, you know, his high-tech tools and gadgets that he's got and whatnot. I love that guy. He's helped this podcast out so much. And I think, you know, a large part of this podcast identity, you know, I can kind of, you know, say thank you to him for that. The first 14 episodes, the audio was shit. Everything was terrible. And he supplied us with a mic and headset. And then this past summer, like almost a year ago now, he supplies with the MacBook Pro so I could edit and, you know, make it sound more crisp and better. And, you know, and shout out to that guy, because I don't know where I'd be without him. So,
yeah, yeah. He sounds awesome.
Oh, guy. Oh, my God. So this guy, I wanted Mike Williams from the Deepwater Horizon on the podcast last year. And the Mudman, I had him on the podcast and we're talking about it. And I didn't say his name. He's like, all right, you tell me who afterwards. And I'll see what I could do. I know people from everywhere. So afterwards, we were done recording. I told him the name. And within 8 hours, he had Mike's phone number to me. I was like, man, that's insane. Mike didn't come on. He actually blocked my number. But it's still cool that I got it, right?
Yeah, it's almost happened.
Almost happened, yeah. And then this past week, the guy, he has his own security company. He lives in Calgary, actually. But he has his own security company, too. And he did security for Pierre Poilievre a few times. And he's like, man, if I could get you into the rally that Pierre Poilievre is having in Edmonton tomorrow, would you want to go and, like, you know, maybe create some content or ask him if he'd had time for a quick podcast or something? Like, fuck yeah. He messaged Pierre Poilievre's assistant. If it, you know, send him my profile and stuff like that and be like, hey, this guy, can you got time? They're like, no, we don't have time this time, but maybe next time, you know. That's still cool that the opportunity was even sort of there, you know. That's, yeah. I think that's badass.
And like the same day too, because that was like no notice either. So that's pretty good.
Ah, yeah, it was crazy. We were actually talking, I think it was like midnight when he started texting me. So I was like, okay, that's cool. I love that.
I actually I saw the Prime Minister this morning.
Stephen Harper?
No, Mark Carney.
That's the last true Prime Minister Canada had.
I agree with that. But yeah. it sounds more unbelievable when I say that I was just going to therapy and I got blockaded in by Mark Carney's security SUVs.
That's cool. That it's still cool, regardless. Yeah.
I thought there was something cool happening.
Regardless of who's the prime minister or the president is or whoever else, whatever, that's still cool that you got to see, even if it had been Trudeau. You know what? If I see Trudeau walking down the street, I don't like him, I don't agree with any of his politics, I'd probably ask him for a selfie just because I know that's what he does. I'd be like, well, let me have a selfie with Trudeau, and then I'd post it somewhere saying this guy's a fucking idiot or something. But like, I'd still want to take the picture, you know, and that'd be pretty cool to meet the guy.
Yeah, no, that was the thing, is like, there was no getting like within like 100 feet. There was like so much security. There was like helicopters apparently since like 8 a.m. I heard on campus. It's just like weird. It was also like, apparently he was having lunch at the campus, this like restaurant that's just a cafeteria.
So you're saying you do therapy. You're on your way to therapy?
Yeah.
Nice. What do you take therapy for? And you tell me to get fucked.
That's great. I'm very like open, I feel like, about mental health. So it's been a tough couple of years. I lost like my grandmother. I had to put my dog down and she was pretty young. So I got a puppy. She got cancer right before her second birthday. And then I have another dog and he made it past his second birthday. So we're in the clear now, but it's just like a lot of things all at the same time that I didn't really know how to deal with, like, grief. Yeah. I feel like in my adult life, because I lost my other grandparents when I was a kid. And also I feel like even if I didn't have those, everybody should probably just go to therapy once in a while.
Yep. I just started.
Yeah, that was it.
Pretty good. BetterHelp started sponsoring the podcast, right? So every couple episodes I gotta like shout them out, right? And that was last week. But like, I can still talk about how awesome it's been. And, you know, I started going to BetterHelp and, you know, yours is in person. Mine's virtually. And yeah, no, it's, you know, I've learned a lot just from two sessions. And, you know, I've had a rough couple of years too. You know, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and, you know, which is, you know, explains, I feel more understood. And, you know, I feel like, okay, you know, before I was aimlessly like, why do I feel this way, right? Why do I have these thoughts? Am I just overthinking? And the inner dialogue all the time, right? Borderline personality disorder, that diagnosis has put me, you know, it's hard because, oh my God, I'm mentally ill. But like, it's good at the same time because, oh my God, I'm mentally ill and there's a reason for it, right? I'm whatever I have, there's an explanation for it. And, you know, I fit in somewhere. And there's so much content on TikTok and Instagram and just Googling and stuff like that on BPD. And, you know, so that explains a lot. And, you know, my wife, she's been very supportive of it. And, you know, she knew my grandmother told her like 10 years ago, she's like, don't tell him right now. But I see signs that he's got, my grandfather had bipolar and my dad had bipolar and I've got borderline personality disorder. But my grandmother said, he's got something. Don't tell him right now. You'll know when the perfect time to tell him is. If you tell him now, it could send him into a spiral. He could panic, you know. You'll know when to tell him, though. The time will come. And, you know, the time was this year, 100%. And, you know, I had a really rough year. And, you know, just figuring that out was, you know, it was like a slap in the face. You know, I disassociate a lot, right? And I do this thing called splitting, right? And it was wild because I didn't know what it was before. But when I figured it out, I started reading on it and then something triggered me. I was beside myself and I like felt the split come, right? I felt it like wash over me. And the therapist actually taught me a good way to interrupt that. You know, he's like, it's called grounding or something like that. You stomp your foot on the ground, you clap, you take a deep breath, you interrupt the split, and then, you know, you come out of it, right? So it's pretty cool, actually. You know, therapy, man, it's helped so much. And, you know, it's not just the the classes or the therapy sessions, I can dive into any of their classes they have online at any point in time. Whenever I can schedule them, I scheduled one the other day. I've been off work for fucking 7 weeks. I had to get up at 5:45 in the morning to attend this class. And I'm like, oh my God, why? Right. But like, it was actually pretty good. I actually took lots of notes down. It was pretty, pretty interesting, pretty enlightening. So
Maybe like I'll look into that probably. Cause I'm using like my school's like free therapy services, you know? So there's like a limit to it and there's only, they only go so deep, but it's still like, it's definitely just been helpful to like talk about things and like, kind of like you, not the same diagnosis at all or anything, but I found out I have like very severe ADHD only in the last couple of years. And so there was like so many pieces that didn't fit together that all of a sudden kind of like explained. And like, so I'm very neurodivergent and even wondering lately if it goes beyond just ADHD, but like there's things that I have like special interests in, like extra, that before people or like I just thought I was weird. Or I used to like talk too much, things like that, that it just kind of like all fits together. And then you get to like actually talk to somebody about it. And it just, it's better than talking to yourself about it inside for like so long.
Absolutely. You're neuro spicy.
Yeah.
I love that. I've been seeing that around the internet a lot. I'm neuro spicy, you know? And I was like, oh my God, that's, you know, all right. I get that. Yeah. That was pretty cool. You know, my wife and I, we've both done a lot of like inner work on ourselves this past year. We've been together 20 years and, you know, the hard conversations I am, turns out I am what is this word here? I am, it's my personality type. I am, where is it here? I am, okay, there's a few of them actually. One's on my phone. It's I took a picture of it. Where is it? That's a bathroom picture. Okay, it is okay. So the personality types, you can be anxious, avoidant, or dismissive, avoidant, or fearful, avoidant, right? Now, if you're dismissive or anxious, avoidant, you don't change. You stay that way, right? Like you're just, that's who you are. If you're a fearful, avoidant, you change. You bounce around between all of them, right? And so I figured out I'm a fearful, avoidant because with some people, I'm very dismissive. And with some people, I'm very anxious, right? So, yeah, it's pretty interesting to know, you know, why it is the way you are and how you operate and, you know, putting yourself and in these certain situations, you just know, okay, like, I know something's going to come out of this, right? Like, I know this person's going to trigger me somehow. And my wife's like, hey, how can we avoid this? And I'm like, you can't, right? Like, you can't just avoid it. This is who I am. That's, you know, we've been doing this my whole life. Like, let's not avoid this. You know, I got to learn how to control it. Throw me in the lion's den. Let's go, right? Like, let's see how I handle it. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes it's like, all right, I barely made it out, but I did it, right? So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm anxious avoidant. So, you know, it's just always there. But I'm a little bit hard to, like, get out of my comfort zone, I would say, often. But even just, like, well, so when I applied to do my master's degree right now, I don't know what I expected, but there's a lot of math in it. So last semester I took like accounting and a bunch of math classes and I did not pass and I had to go on academic probation. So, but after that, I found all these YouTube channels that are like, you can find out like the way you learn best on like all those quizzes. And then you can find like YouTube channels that like teach you the math that way. And it just like feels like it unlocks something totally different where like before you would have never been able to like pick up or figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, man, there's a lot of help out there for people if they want it, right? Like you gotta be very careful with what you're looking at too, because it's the internet still and, you know, a lot of it's fluff. But yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know, with men, with not just men's mental health, but with mental health in general, you know, like BPD is one of the, if not the most painful mental disorders to have. And a lot of people, they do the self checkout, right? And you know, it's cool, you know, like if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, you know, if a guy like me can have it, or a girl like Lauren can have, you know, mental health issues, if anyone here is listening, you know, it's okay. It's all right. You know, you're not alone. We all struggle with shit. So, you know, and if you want to use the BetterHelp stuff, use my code betterhelp.com/frostyd. Save yourself 10% on your first month of therapy. So yeah, it's pretty, you know, it can be pricey. So even 10% off is still, you know, something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I heard BetterHelp is like also more affordable sometimes than the other options. So
that's pretty cool. Actually, I didn't know that, you know, it was the more affordable options out there. I thought, wow, you know, therapy is expensive. I knew that. Right. Yeah.
It's for like hundreds of dollars. If you, depending like what kind of specialist you see, like hundreds of dollars for like an hour session.
Yeah. It's worth it. Like, I learned this the other day on there. Okay. If you think you're an alpha male, whatever, right? You want to be the leader of your family, right? And you're struggling mentally. Remember, a wolf can only lead a pack when it's confident, right? So, you know, and a lot of people shit on me for my mental health video I made a couple months back. A lot of people, it got like 2 million views on Facebook. And a lot of people were like, yeah, all right, thanks, brother. But like a lot of people were like, this is why men are not respected in the world these days because of this pussy bullshit. I'm like, what the fuck are
you? People have been saying or things on like men. I think I saw it on Quentin's. People are like, men used to hunt and now they post these. I'm like, go get a job or something. What are you doing on TikTok for so long every day?
Yeah, exactly. I think the most insane thing my therapist told me yesterday, he likened it to working in the oil and gas industry. And he's like, in the oil and gas industry, there's a lot of pressure in pipes and stuff, right? I'm like, absolutely, you know? And he's like, what happens when things pressure up too much? They always find a way out one way or another, right? They usually end up exploding and hurting people, right? He said to me, the journey to being a better man, there will be a lot of confrontation, right? But the key word in there is journey to being. Being means continuous. The journey to being a better man will have a lot of confrontation, but it's continuous, right? So that was huge. That was huge to hear, you know, and I felt like a weight's been lifted off my shoulder a little bit, I think. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds like your therapist, he knows you well with the analogies too.
You know what? Him and I have been talking, we've only talked twice. And, you know, I told him, like, man, come listen to my podcast, man. You know, come listen to it. He's a Jamaican guy from Colorado. So, you know, I've got him to listen to my podcast a little bit here, I think. So shout out to Ian. You know, I love that guy.
He's taking notes right now on what to talk about in your next session.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, shit. Just in case nobody knows where they can find you, where are your accounts at?
I'm at Small Town Berta on everything. I have Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram mostly though. And then if you're interested in seeing like any of the other accounts, there's a link tree in my bio with them.
Love that. I don't want to keep you too much longer there, Lauren. We've been going for just over an hour now, and you got to get to your time off here, right? Like it's starting, you know, it's sort of spring break, right?
Well, it's like the end of the semester now.
It's the end of the semester. So now you're on summer vacation.
I got to do some summer classes and like final exams, but basically after tomorrow. Yeah.
Party on, Wayne. That's awesome. I love that. So I usually like to end the podcast by asking one last question. And, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock there. And if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to that you inspire to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
So I'd probably start with my sister. She's a couple years younger than me, but she's my best friend. I love her. She's awesome. So definitely my first one there. She's always like my biggest fan. My mom and dad. Probably my two best friends, Zach and Denver. I would put my parents on one, then they can be the other two. They're solid guys. They're always there for me, and they've like been there since the beginning of Small Town Burritos. So,
hey, you know what? I love that. You know, I got some friends that have been with me since the start of Dick Frost, right? And they remember when Dick Frost on Facebook was my real name. And they're like, man, I couldn't go live yet. I didn't have the number of followers you needed. The videos, I watched back at some of those videos, and I don't know how I built a following off that. It was so trash and cringy. You know, maybe some of them still are, and I'll look back in a couple more years and look what I'm doing now. But, you know, they've been there with me since the beginning, and I like to, you know, I like to carry my boys with me, you know. Like, we've been together, and they make content. I don't know if you know who Double D is. Charismatic Enigma on TikTok now, but he used to be Tyrell, the oil patch janitor. And yeah, that guy and I, we've been through a lot together on our social media journeys, I guess. It's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've traveled. Like, even I've been to, I probably would not be alive if I didn't have travel with them, just because even like, you know, lots of sketchy situations we've been in overseas. They're like always, they always make sure I get home in one piece to my parents. So,
Yeah, you can't put a price on friendship like that, right? That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this is my baby, and I get really excited to record. I get really excited every Tuesday when an episode drops, you know, and we just had the sober roughneck, his episode aired yesterday. And, you know, I haven't pushed that out at all yet. And it's already one of the most downloaded episodes I've had in the first 24 hours. So, and I haven't even pushed it out anywhere yet. I haven't even put any teaser trailers out for it, but, you know, thanks for coming on my podcast there, Lauren. I really appreciate it. This has been, you know, a lot of fun for me. So thanks for being a part of the ride.
Thanks so much for having me. You're like, you're the only, you got an exclusive first ever interview, face, voice, whatever reveal. So
this is my Eminem is gay moment.
There you go.
Yes. Love it. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Lauren. Hey, you stay frosty.
Thanks for having me.